With Amex Platinum, you can enjoy access to dedicated card member entrances at select events, because skipping the line makes you the star of game day. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex. Card member entrance access not limited to Amex Platinum card.
Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80. Amber and Ian presented to you by Progressive Insurance. They offer auto, home, and commercial auto insurance, plus a variety of business insurance options. Visit progressive.com today. Home team, Brandon Leak in for Amber and Ian. We are here all night long as we are with Marcel Louis-Jacques as we get right to the conversation about football. Training camps, Marcel, already in full swing, and we already have storylines. We already have holdouts, hold-ins, whatever you want to call them. We go right to San Francisco, where the Brandon Ayuk situation affairs, not a fiasco yet, but situation and conversation continues to go on, where the star wide receiver, who you could argue is a number one wide receiver in the NFL, is dissatisfied with his contract situation. He wants the same money that he's seeing other wide receivers, Ja'Marr Chase. He's seeing Justin Jefferson. He's seeing Tyreek Hill get contract extensions and big money. He wants to be in that vein, and he's not getting it as of yet. Will he get it? Yes, eventually. Will it be with the Niners? Probably not, because anytime a player asks for more money, he will get it. No time in the history of football or any other sport has a guy said, I want more money, and even when he's moved, he didn't get it. He always gets it. The question is, what is going to be the roster situation for the San Francisco 49ers if they have to move Brandon Ayuk? And do they need him to win and get back to a Super Bowl?
Well, first of all, man, this Ayuk situation has become like the bane of my existence on social media, because it feels like everybody who spent that $12.99, $11.99, whatever it costs for a blue check mark, is coming up with a sources, breaking news, he's going here, he's going there. But our own Adam Schefter is reporting that three teams have had serious conversations with him over the past few days: the Pittsburgh Steelers, the New England Patriots, and the Cleveland Browns. Now, is San Francisco incentivized to trade Brandon Ayuk? Like you said, he's the number one receiver, 1,300 yards last year. He's increased his receiving yard total in each of his first four seasons in the NFL, back-to-back 1,000-yard years. And there is a precedent of receivers on this team, players on this team, holding out, holding in for more money, and getting it. We saw Deebo Samuel do something similar a couple years ago. But for the San Francisco 49ers, two things right now are holding you up, right? Number one, Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy is the bargain deal, the best bargain deal in the NFL right now, in that he is a bona fide starting quarterback making last pick of the draft money. He's going to have to get paid coming up next year. So you got to set aside a chunk for that. Then also Trent Williams, who seems to be aging like fine wine, man. He is still just as strong, just as effective, just as much of a leader now as he was 10 seasons ago. He wants a new deal as well. They just spent a first-round pick on Ricky Pearsall, so they're saying, you know, they're clearly telling us where their priorities lie right now in terms of who deserves what amount of money. Right now, I think it's up to Brandon Ayuk as well, if, you know, New England is willing to pay him. Cleveland's willing to pay him. Which situation does he think is best? But it's a messy situation right now. You called it, said it's not a fiasco, and you're right there. I don't think it's
not
quite
yet
a fiasco yet. Not with the Niners, but it is messy. It is a
it's
mess.
It's getting close, Marcel, because the 49ers, they have a set color pattern to their jerseys. They've been wearing the gold, and they've been wearing their uniforms for many, many years. I saw a video clip of Brandon Ayuk in all black, in black sweatpants with a black sweatshirt, kind of just walking through. I won't say he was meandering, but he was just walking through practice, and it didn't look like he had any interest in either participating, talking, or helping out with any drills. It doesn't seem that it's risen to the level of distraction yet, but it certainly is a thing, and the longer it goes on without him signing a contract, it is going to continue to be a thing. Here is 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan saying nothing is different about the conversation about Brandon Ayuk, even though he is not suited up to practice.
It's been at this point for a little bit, so it's nothing really new to me. I mean, you're always disappointed when you can't keep a hold of all your players or it's not going exactly right. I mean, I don't like losing anybody, so that's why I'm hoping it does work out here. But right now, we don't have that solved yet, so I hope it does.
Is the offer you guys made in May a final offer, or is there a chance you...
I mean, I'm not getting any specifics with offers, contracts, trades, anything like that, but what I can tell you guys is nothing has changed. I know a lot was out yesterday and stuff, but from the situation that we're in with Brandon, nothing's changed.
Perfection. It's a perfect answer. I don't know anything that's different. I don't want to get into specifics. It's really for the general manager to have those conversations. And it's not that I don't know anything. It's just that it doesn't seem to be progressing. And so it is where it was, exactly where we are now. No Brandon Ayuk, no contract, and no clearing of the way to say we are going to put big money for him on the table.
And look, right now, Brandon, he represents a $14 million cap hit for the Niners right now. They don't have to move him, right? They don't have to move him. He is still under contract technically. But when you look around the league at what guys have been paid this summer, A.J. Brown making $32 million a year, Justin Jefferson, $35 million, Amon-Ra St. Brown, $30 million, Jalen Waddle, $28 million, like Nico Collins making $24 million a year. If I'm Brandon Ayuk, yeah, I want to get paid too. That $14 million doesn't look right to me. That doesn't look good to me at all. So if you're Ayuk, and no, he is represented by Athletes First. They are known for getting their guys paid. If you look at some of the highest paid guys in the NFL, they are typically either Rosenhaus clients or Athletes First clients. If you're Brandon Ayuk, you got to know you're not going to make Justin Jefferson money, right? You're not going to get that $35 million. You're not going to be the highest paid receiver in the NFL. But I think if you are Ayuk and if you're Athletes First, you're probably not settling for anything less than what Jalen Waddle is making right now. That four-year $84.7 million that he signed in June, that's probably the floor here. That's probably the floor. If the Niners aren't willing to hit that, then if I'm Brandon Ayuk, we don't have anything else to talk about, Brandon.
Outside of the money, it comes down to the winning. Can the 49ers win? Can they be at the top of the NFC heap? Can they repeat and go back to the Super Bowl without their leading wide receiver in yardage, without a guy who was tied for the team lead in touchdowns? They had 14 guys catch passes last year. Seven of them caught touchdowns, and the 49ers as a team, they ended up throwing 33 touchdown passes. Now, if you remove him, do you have to trade him for another wide receiving piece, or can you get it done with Christian McCaffrey, who's a little bit banged up and won't be playing in preseason? Can you get it with Deebo Samuel? Can you get it done with the situations that you have been having with your fullback in Kyle Juszczyk and your tight end in George Kittle? Can you still be effective and win without your number one wide receiver? You ask any other team in the NFL that question, it'll be an easy, quick, and hard no if you get to that conversation. I'm not so sure that's the case in Kyle Shanahan's offense, and I think Deebo Samuel, the way they move people around, the quickness with which Brock Purdy and the offense requires him to get the ball out of his hands, I can see them being beyond okay. I think they can be good. They won't be the same without him, but I think they can be good enough, particularly with that defense on the other side of the ball, still to be considered a tough, tough out and maybe still the best team in the NFC if Brandon Ayuk is not a part of the roster.
Yeah, but, you know, home team, the beauty of the Niners, right, lies in their overwhelming, smothering even balance. That sure. At every level of the field, they've got a superstar that can kill you. They've got a George Kittle, you know, who can block and go out and be a threat in the passing game. They've got Deebo Samuel, who could take a jet sweep as well as stretch the field. Brandon Ayuk obviously can stretch the field, and Christian McCaffrey, I mean, needs no introduction. But when you take one of those pieces away, you take Brandon Ayuk away, I think the offense obviously takes a hit. I think it takes a massive hit, actually. You look at who else they have on the roster. I mean, Ricky Pearsall, they started camp on the PUP list. Just Juwan Jennings, Ray McCloud. These are good auxiliary pieces. These are good, you know, these are good players. These are not necessarily feature guys. So if you do give up on a Brandon Ayuk, you do get rid of him, you do trade him, whatever, you have to have something in return. You have to have something coming in return. That's what makes the Cleveland, a potential Cleveland package, so interesting. Because in theory, you know, Cleveland kind of played chicken with Amari Cooper all offseason. If they get Amari Cooper back in return, all of a sudden, you know, wipe your hands. No worries. We're okay moving forward. We're going to be just fine. If you're not getting that kind of player back, I think there is a clear and obvious hole in this offense. And that is, I guess, that's the benefit of if you are going to trade Brandon Ayuk, of doing it early in the offseason, early enough that you can go grab a free agent. You can go, you know, if you got the draft picks, you can go take a rookie and you can start that replacement process. But right now, we're so late in the game. Training camp's already a week and a half, 2 weeks in. We're so late in the game in the process that you have to wonder, like, what is their plan here? What's the end goal here? I don't think Brandon Ayuk is backing down.
Do his teammates believe he is out of San Francisco? Here's Christian McCaffrey. You tell me if they think he's coming back or if he is out of there.
No, for me, I don't deal with it. You know, that's not part of my job. It's not part of my position. I think obviously as a former teammate or, you know, teammate of his in general, any teammate that you have, you love, you respect them, you want the best for them. As far as the business side of this game goes, it's always difficult. And so I stay out of it completely.
Obviously, as a former teammate,
whoops,
Marcel, you heard him. We heard him. Now, obviously, it was a Freudian slip. But that being said, you know, players usually stay out of players' business. And a player like Christian McCaffrey, who's got a monster contract, certainly is not going to begrudge a teammate for trying to do what's best for himself and his family. When he is worth it and proven on the field, he can get the yards. I'm just thinking, he scored 7 touchdowns. Debo Samuel had 7 touchdowns, and so did Christian McCaffrey when you're talking about receiving. So they're able to move the ball through the air and find ways to do it. You lose your number one wide receiver, though, there will be a downtick unless, to your point, somebody else comes in. So that will be the next question. Who would it be if Brandon Ayuk is gone? All right, coming up, Ayuk, Ja'Marr Chase, CD, which guy means more to his offense? We'll talk about it next here on Amber and Ian, home team Brandon Leak and Marcel Louis-Jacques in here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. On the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network.
Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80. You can call 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Home team Brandon Leak and Marcel Louis-Jacques in for Amber and Ian. Amber and Ian presented to you by Progressive Insurance. And we were having a conversation about Brandon Ayuk, what he means to the San Francisco 49ers. It also gets into this conversation, who means more at the wide receiver position to their team's offense? And Marcel, talking about Brandon Ayuk, the number one wide receiver in San Francisco, you throw in Ja'Marr Chase, the number one wide receiver in Cincinnati, and then you throw in C.D. Lamb, the number one wide out and guy who needs to be paid like a number one in his position, in his opinion, in Dallas. You look at those three guys. Is there one that is a clear cut deciding difference maker in if they aren't there, the offense is totally different? And the one that jumps off the page to me is Ja'Marr Chase in Cincinnati. I think Dak Prescott has proven he can sling the ball around. Now, don't get it twisted. Ja'Marr Chase is a fantastic receiver, but CeeDee Lamb doesn't have to take a backseat to anybody. But Dak Prescott, very efficient with the football last year. I think him being upright and always being available for games, he can find a way to find touchdowns in the end zone. Brock Purdy, he looks to his left, he looks to his right, he closes his eyes. He's got weapons all over the field, from the running back to Debo to the fullback to the tight end. I think Ja'Marr Chase, the Ja'Marr Chase Joe Burrow connection, is the one that is a little different from the others. If Ja'Marr Chase is out for two or three games, that could be curtains for a playoff postseason run for the Cincinnati Bengals.
See, we got to disagree there.
Oh,
we got to disagree there. Cincinnati's got another guy who wants to get paid in T. Higgins.
That's right.
Who is a 1,000-yard receiver in his own right and could effectively carry an offense. Matter of fact, I think he would relish the opportunity if he had to play without Ja'Marr Chase this season to put on display for whoever is going to give him that big deal. Like you said earlier in our conversation, it's not a matter of if you get paid, it's by who. So I think Higgins would love the opportunity to show whoever his next team is, this is what you're getting when I am the guy and not just sharing the field with Ja'Marr Chase. But my brother, if you take CeeDee Lamb off of that Cowboys offense, I don't even think they are a wild card team in the NFC. Oh. He is that important to this passing offense. The emergence of Jake Ferguson, I think, was critical for Dallas last season. It gives him that, or gives them that short yardage, red zone, goal line target. CD obviously was excellent after the catch and excellent at stretching the field. But behind him is Brandon Cooks, who he's had a great career. Don't get me wrong. He's had a great career. He's not a number one receiver. Michael Gallup is gone. Jalen Tolbert, they're still waiting for him to pop after taking him, I think, in the third, fourth round out of South Alabama a couple of years ago. There is no proven, bona fide number one guy after CeeDee Lamb. And like we said earlier with Brandon Ayuk, you're at that point in the year where you can't just go get one. You can't go get a replacement now. You got to sign somebody off the street. You're going to sign Jarvis Landry off the street. That's a number one receiver.
Right.
But like that's the kind of player that you're going to get at this point. No, I think the no-brainer, literally hurting my mind to think about it, situation is the one going on in Dallas with CeeDee Lamb. Jerry Jones, we just heard you earlier this offseason say, we are all in, as he's scribbling sweet nothings on a notepad talking to reporters at the owners' meetings earlier this year. He said, we are all in. All in. Their marquee signing this offseason was Eric Kendricks and bringing back Ezekiel Elliott. It's a no-brainer to re-sign CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, I don't.
And now look how expensive it is.
Yeah, their issue is they've got three guys and they have one offseason. So is it going to be CeeDee Lamb first? Is it going to be Dak Prescott first? Is it going to be Micah Parsons? At some point, all three of those gentlemen will be heavily paid. The question is, will it be all three, two of the three, or one of the three? I'm thinking it's going to be two of the three unless Dak takes a major hit. But I'm just thinking the drop-off. You know, Brandon Cooks, he still had 8 touchdowns last year, even with CeeDee Lamb. And I would just think he would still be able to eat if something were to befall or if CeeDee Lamb left. You know, T. Higgins, to your point earlier, you know, he didn't have the same amount of yardage, but he was still effective finding the end zone. And even Ja'Marr Chase playing, you know, last year in 16 games, he had 7 touchdowns. That's a solid number of touchdowns. I think if you drop that from the roster and the weaponry that Joe Burrow has to throw to, and T. Higgins moves up to number one, now you have a situation where things have changed. Joe Mixon switching teams, and now you have a situation where it's totally different than what you've seen in the past. Like I said, the 49ers are out because Brock Purdy just has so many places to go. But CeeDee Lamb, I think when you still look at the totality of the Cowboys, and don't get that messed up either, you know, not going out and maybe drafting them a top running back early may come back to haunt them. But because that's somebody you can throw to as well. I think CeeDee Lamb certainly is the straw that helps to stir the drink. I just think that Brandon Cooks and his veteran moxie, his veteran presence, his ability to run all the routes, the underneath stuff, still can get behind some guys as well. I'm just thinking that Ja'Marr Chase, he is a bigger piece, a bigger component, and a big long-time component for the Cincinnati Bengals to hang around with the Browns, with the Steelers, with the Ravens in that tough AFC North.
I don't know, man. I like, and this is coming from someone who really likes Brandon Cooks. I really respect him as a player.
Okay. You know,
the amount of times he's been traded, a number of offensive systems he's had to learn and still be productive, this productive, like the 9,000 career yards, is incredible. But he was a non-factor for the first half of the season. I think those three of those eight touchdowns came in the last 3 weeks of the year, one of which, I mean, he had like two catches for 14 yards and a touchdown. I guess it'll work. That's you know, pick up off the bench or pick up off free agency waiver wire numbers. You know, you're happy with that. But like he was a direct benefit of the Cowboys change, you know, philosophical change midway through the year, where CeeDee basically threw a fit and said, give me the ball more. He was fed the ball more, and thus that opened the field for the rest of the guys on the team. I don't think that if you're relying on Brandon Cooks to be your number one receiver, you're going to be watching the playoffs at home. And that's it's no disrespect, but that's how much CeeDee Lamb means to this roster. You made a great point earlier, though, in that like they have three guys they need to pay in Dak, Micah, and CeeDee. You absolutely cannot let Micah Parsons walk out of that door. So it's a tough situation.
Issue, and you're right about how much CeeDee got the ball and he asked for the ball, but what happened was he got most of the targets, 181 targets for CeeDee Lamb. Those passes would be going somewhere else, and Brandon Cooks ended up, again, with eight touchdowns. He only had 81 targets. He had 100 fewer targets than CeeDee Lamb had. So I'm just thinking, when you look at the totality, yeah, all of those guys, they make a big difference, and that's the difference between being good or really good or being great or being something totally different. So I'm thinking for Ja'Marr Chase, it's the guy, and for you, CeeDee Lamb, that's not a bad argument as well. All right, coming up, the Giants just won't stop getting into fights at training camp. We'll talk about it next here on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience, combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
Ah, fall Saturdays. The air is crisp. The game is on. Your friends are here, and you're outside on grill duty. The Home Depot knows missing the game is not an option. Thankfully, the Traeger Timberline XL Grill is here to help you play defense and make the most of every Saturday. First up, we've got fans to feed, and the Timberline XL is a real crowd pleaser. It can bake, smoke, sear, fry, and saute, so you can feed everyone at the watch party. Whether you want sweet, tangy ribs, jalapeno poppers with a smoky kick, grilled street corn, or some classic buffalo wings, this utility player can do it all. And with Wi-Fire tech and the Traeger app, you can monitor your smoker temp, meat probes, and pellet levels all from the comfort of your couch. So you can watch the game, not the grill, and never miss a moment. Defend your game time with Traeger and the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Giants showing fight at training camp. It's just with each other. There's a lot going on, and we'll get to it here on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80. Amber and Ian is presented by Progressive Insurance. Home team Brandon Leak and Marcel Louis Jock filling in for Amber and Ian, and a lot going on at Giants training camp. They are looking to get a lot of work done. They have to leapfrog what people think will be a very decided NFC East with the Giants and the Cowboys. They want to be a part of it too, and a man to get right to the conversation with is ESPN Giants reporter Jordan Ronan, who joins us here on Amber and Ian. And Jordan, there are two things before Giants camp I had never seen before. A UFO and a quarterback in a scuffle. Now I've seen a quarterback in a scuffle. What in the world is going on at Giants training camp where Daniel Jones and Malik Nabers are now getting into scuffles the past couple of days at Giants training camp?
Well, thanks for having me, guys. Home team, at least they're not fighting each other, right? They're fighting the other team. So, look, Daniel Jones just said he has to protect his guys. Like, that's the kind of guy he is. If you, I don't know what your impression is of Daniel Jones, but if you met him, you'd realize you don't want to mess with Daniel Jones. Dude's big. I mean, he's got to be 6'5", 232, 235. Like, he's a big dude. So it's actually not that surprising. I mean, there was a 2 years ago, 3 years ago, he tried to put his head down on a linebacker on the goal line. So, like, that's the kind of guy that did, the kind of guy, the kind of player that Daniel Jones is. So I'm not that surprised, but off of the injury, probably also not the smartest move. And then with Malik Nabers, the dude is catching everything, right? So he's 2 days of joint practices. He catches the first 17 balls thrown in his direction. What happens when the first one that's thrown in his direction, he doesn't actually catch it? Slaps some guy's head and starts throwing haymakers. So that's where we're at with the Giants at this point.
It's never a dull moment. Jordan, Marcel here. Speaking of impressions of Daniel Jones, as we, you know, we're watching this offseason Hard Knocks and we're seeing all the conversation this front office has had about Daniel Jones, how has he looked in training camp these first few days as he comes back from that knee injury?
Yeah, it's interesting. I'll say this. Well, you're talking about, like you say that, it's a big qualifier. Coming back from that knee injury. So it's almost like we're bypassing it, but he's looked incredibly healthy. Like nothing has ever happened. It's to the point where the Giants are calling QB draws at practice for him to run, which I don't know. You guys tell me. That seems like you got a lot of confidence in him health-wise. He's still not even 9 months fully removed, I think, from ACL surgery. And you're calling QB draws. I know you can't hit the quarterback in practice, but that has the potential to put him in situations where, you know, it could be awkward, it could be dangerous. So I think health-wise, that tells you everything. There's been days where Daniel Jones has been a little up and down, but I think for the most part, we've seen the good Daniel Jones. And this is kind of like the argument that was made for Daniel Jones several years. Well, get him a guy. Get him a real playmaker. Get him a number one. So like Tua's had, right, for Marcel, you're sitting here, you're watching Tua with Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. Well, imagine if you're his best receiver over the first 5 years of his career was, you know, Darius Slayton or, you know, the guys that they brought in, if you think about it, Golden Tate never played another game after he played for the Giants. Kenny Golladay they brought in. Never played another game after he played for the Giants. Darren Waller came in, never played another game after. So none of those worked. I mean, he hasn't had anyone to throw to it, and you're seeing a difference, I think, with Daniel Jones when he has that dude, and his name is Malik Nabers.
Jordan Ronan, ESPN Giants reporter, joining us here on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. Home team Brandon Leak and Marcel Louis-Jacques filling in. Look, the Cowboys and the Giants, they are better right now. The Cowboys and the Eagles, rather, are better than the Giants. That being said, what do the Giants need to have happen to happen if they are going to have a better season than one of those two guys and find a way to make it into the postseason?
Well, they would need to stay incredibly healthy. I think that's one of my biggest concerns with the Giants. Like, if they have four or five guys that if they lose them, like, their season's going to be wrecked. And conversely, you know, it needs to be one of those seasons where one of those other teams fall apart. They lose a key play, a couple key players here or there that they can't sustain. Like, if you look back at why the Giants went 9-7-1 2 years ago, a big part of that was their most important players, Dexter Lawrence, Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, they all, Andrew Thomas, they all stayed completely healthy that season. So this isn't a team with a lot of depth. They have a handful of premium players. Now it's Brian Burns, Andrew Thomas. They can't afford, you know, Daniel Jones, obviously, is their starting quarterback. Malik Nabers. Those guys, they would have to maximize those guys in order to have any chance to really compete with those top teams in the division. Because top to bottom on the Giants roster, Like, there's still spots where you look at practice. I mean, full position groups were like, damn, like, what's going on at the defensive line after Dexter Lawrence, like the interior? Or, holy cow, this whole secondary could be problematic. And, you know, can they ever get this offensive line right? Like, those questions exist. So in order for the Giants to take it to that next level, they need to be extremely healthy and have a couple of these young guys, the Malik Nabers, the Deontay Banks at cornerback, maybe one of these young tight ends like Theo Johnson, really, you know, pop this year and stay healthy.
Jordan, I got to stay on the quarterback topic here. Obviously, I know there's so many more storylines with this team, but this is from a national perspective.
That's the main storyline, Marcel. Always.
This is the one. This is ESPN. We're talking quarterbacks here, Jordan.
Yeah.
If Daniel Jones fails to impress this year, what are those ramifications looking like?
He won't be the Giants quarterback. I mean, you're still on Hard Knocks. They already were exploring the potential option of moving on from him. So if he does, look, they designed the contract. They said, okay, we'll give you the money that you want. You know, they haggled till the very last minute of the franchise tag deadline, like literally 30 seconds before that's when they got the deal done. They said, we'll give you the money. We'll give you that $40 million number that you wanted. But in return, what we need is we need the flexibility. Basically, after 2 years, that we could probably get out of this deal. And so that's what the Giants have. So, yeah, he basically has to play at a Pro Bowl, All-Pro level for the Giants to want to keep running it back with him. And look, you have to realize, if we're sitting here in year six and you're saying, hey, we're still not sure if he's the guy, and we're making all these excuses, like I said before, I was like, you know, who are his receivers been? What's his offensive line? I could go on and on. The uneven situations, how many coaches and coordinators has he had? But if you're sitting there in year six of a guy's career and you're still thinking that, let's be honest. You probably know the answer, right, if you're trying to build a Super Bowl winner.
What do you think this Giants running attack will look like now that Saquon Barkley is wearing Philadelphia Eagles green?
It's going to look like whatever Devin Singletary does, because that's the guy here. I mean, you can say what you want about Devin Singletary. He's been a quality player, not a special player throughout his career, but he is the unequivocal, clear-cut number one running back on the Giants. And then when you look behind him, you have a bunch of guys who combined have 8 career carries. Now, the Giants are banking on, okay, we improved our offensive line. That's going to help improve our running game. You're talking about they added Jermaine Illuminor at right tackle. They signed guard John Runyon. They recently signed Greg Van Roten. So those are 3 veterans that have at least proven to be average to above average offensive linemen in the NFL, which for the Giants, and if you've watched their offensive line over the last, I don't know, dozen years, like, that's an upgrade. Like, they're not even looking good at this point to say, okay, you know what? We need the best offensive line in the league. Like, they're just looking to have an average offensive line, and they think that'll improve their situation greatly. And Joe Shane obviously isn't the biggest believer in paying a running back and need to have the top running back in the league. And Brian Daboll, by the way, wants to throw the ball deep. Like, he wants to air it out. And that's an emphasis this summer. So, you know, just get enough of the running game so we could play action and throw the ball deep and have success with a very speedy receiving corps. That is what the Giants do have. You have Nabers, who's explosive. You have Jalin Hyatt, who's explosive. You have Darius Slayton, who can get down the field. Wandale Robinson, who's a shifty little player. So they do have that explosiveness on the outside, and I think we're going to see more of that than really a focus on the run game, which we probably saw more than they wanted to because their roster had Saquon Barkley. And they kind of reconfigured that this offseason.
Now, Jordan, the first year of the Dable Shane era obviously resulted in a playoff appearance. But did that reset their clock at all? Because it still felt like a team that was overachieving. Like, is there a long leash for Joe and Brian right now? Or do they need to start producing ASAP in order to keep their jobs?
I think, you know, from talking to people, that they have more security than people outside the building thing, belief, right? People look at it from a distance and they say, yeah, they have to be on the hot seat, right? They were terrible last year. I think right now they're in good standing. Like, they're in solid ground. They're going to be given time to build. But I will say this. That doesn't mean anything when you're in New York in this market. I mean, I'm just looking at past history. The previous three head coaches only lasted 2 years, right? All three of them. And one of them, by the way, went 11-5. I'm talking about Ben McAdoo and made the playoffs his first year. He was gone before his second season was over. So if this season is bad and it falls apart, you know, any security they had disappears really quickly. But I do think right now that ownership and the front office and the people high up in this organization, they believe that they're headed in the right direction and they're building something here and they're doing it the right way. Now, we don't know if that's right. We'll ultimately find out if that's true. But if they could just show progress this year, like I said, let's say Malik Nabers is a big, you know, hit and he ends up being a star and the offensive line shows improvement and one of their other young players on the defensive side hits and they have like a bunch of key pieces on defense. They're going to get time to say, look, we built the infrastructure for the success here. Now what do we need to finish it? We need that quarterback. That kind of like the Bucks. Remember the Bucks like 4 or 5 years ago before Tom Brady came? They had that, okay, you know, we know this is a pretty good team. This is a pretty good roster. They just need a quarterback. Now, granted, Tom Brady's not hanging out there waiting to come to every team. But I think that'll be the case for the Giants. We have enough here. We just need, let us go get that quarterback now, and we're going to build a winner here.
Fantastic conversation. We thank you for the time, Jordan.
All right, guys. Have a great show. Enjoy.
Jordan Ronan, ESPN Giants reporter, joining us here on Amber and Ian. All right, good news, Bengals fans. We are going to tell you why your team will win the Super Bowl here on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. I'm home team Brandon Leake. He's Marcel Louis Jock. This is ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
It's basketball season, baby. When you're playing with BetMGM, you don't need to be 7 feet tall with a 7-foot wingspan to get into the action. Oh, you betting with the big boys now. I'm talking over points, under assists, and exact rebounds all day. Fade away jumper from the left wing hitting nothing but net type of vibe. This basketball season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico, call 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Everybody has a shot at Super Bowl glory as it is training camp. But does that mean you will make the ultimate journey? We'll get to it next as we have a team that can make the Super Bowl as Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. Amber and Ian presented to you by Progressive Insurance. Home team Brandon Leake and Marcel Louis Jock filling in for Amber and Ian. And it's time to get to the team we think will win the Super Bowl, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Why your team will win the Super Bowl.
It's going to be one of the greatest moments of my life.
With Amber and Ian.
We're going to win.
Yes! Victorious!
The Cincinnati Bengals.
All right, now time to tell everybody in Cincinnati. Nasty Natty is how some people call it. As they want to have a nasty defense, nasty offense. I'm going to tell you, they got themselves some beef, Marcel. They got big defensive tackle Sheldon Rankins to help out with that pass rush. Big body. You can't move him. He can be a disruptive force to any pass or run attack. And when you're talking about climbing the ladder, the Cincinnati Bengals finished 12th in the sack total last year in the NFL. They want to move up that list and getting a big body like Sheldon Rankins. One of the reasons why the Cincinnati Bengals can win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I love it. Hey, look. Strong defensive play starts from the middle of the defensive line. You have to shore that up before you can get anywhere, and they still have Trey Hendrickson. Although, you know, it was a little dicey with him as well. There's been a lot of you know, contract talks, a lot of disorganization within that organization this offseason. But Trey Hendrickson is still there. He can be a 12-sack kind of guy. You have to play D in the AFC North, and it looks like they're poised to be able to do so.
Got to stop the run. Another reason, what's old is what's new. Veteran safety Von Bell returns to the Cincinnati defense. Safety now probably going to be backing up, you know, depending on how they run the defense, backing up Jordan Battle. But guy who has signed a one-year deal, he comes back after his time in Cincinnati. So you have somebody familiar with the culture of the Bengals, a well-respected pro player in the back end of the defense. So you have beef up front with Jenkins coming over in the offseason, and now somebody in the back of the defense with veteran moxie and savvy in Von Bell.
You know, they're also hoping, you know, DJ Turner can take that step forward after his rookie year last year. Chidobe Awuzie still in that defensive secondary. Like, they've got some guys here, man. They've got some dogs. Mike Hilton, they have some players, some hoopers. And again, the AFC North is a brutal division. You've got bitter cold. You've got physical football. You better be able to defend the pass and the run.
Yeah, you're talking about the quarterbacks, too. You have to face Deshaun Watson. You have a two-time MVP and Lamar Jackson. And then whoever is going to be quarterbacking, either Russell Wilson or Justin Fields. And who knows? Maybe it's both of those guys to some degree you may have to deal with. You're dealing with some quarterbacks that aren't messing around. And you look at Pittsburgh, both of those quarterbacks are playing for their veteran lives, both on one-year deals. Going to need a defense to make sure things are shored up. We talked about the defense, haven't mentioned the offense, but you can't talk offense without talking about Ja'Marr Chase, a dangerous individual, a guy who clearly has a chemistry and a history with Joe Burrow, and they are a 1-2 tandem that doesn't have to take a backseat to any tandem in the AFC or in the NFL. And now that both of those guys look like they're coming into camp healthy, they have some big work and some big mountains to climb. I'm saying Ja'Marr Chase could be looking at a double-digit touchdown season, and if that is the way it rolls, that is another reason why the Cincinnati Bengals can win the Super Bowl.
And you know, it's crazy. Ja'Marr Chase actually had the worst season of his career last year, 76 yards per game, and he still turned it into a 1,200-yard season. If that's your floor for your number one receiver, you are doing okay. When we're talking about the revitalization of the wide receiver position in the NFL, it's due to guys like Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase, that incredible draft class also with Jalen Waddle. You can't beat it. He can beat you deep. He can catch a short route. He can go bubble screen. He can go slant. He can take whatever he wants to the house on any part of the field. Dangerous individual. I love how you described him.
And you look at what else is out there. T. Higgins is certainly a dangerous man, and they just threw the ball all over the place. That's one thing about, you know, Joe Burrow, he doesn't have to target just one guy. He can find touchdown passes to a lot of different guys. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase had 7 touchdowns. T. Higgins had 5 touchdowns. Joe Mixon, he was able to get 3 touchdowns last year. I mean, he was throwing the ball all over the place, and whoever is open, whatever the function of the offense is required to get the ball downfield to, or whoever that is, Joe Burrow has a very good eye and a good feel for that offense, which brings us to the number one reason why the Cincinnati Bengals can win the Super Bowl. Could this be a fantastic, most marvelous, unbelievable season at the quarterback position for Joe Burrow? Injury early in his career, a trip to the Super Bowl already early in his career. Now a veteran, now having to deal with a situation where injury looks like it could be a thing of the past, and he just has to prove he can stay healthy. If he is healthy, could he not withstand what the Baltimore Ravens have to bring? Can he not withstand what the Cleveland Browns could bring? Could he not withstand what the Pittsburgh Steelers and that defense could bring? Yes, he can. And if he is a healthy individual, that makes all the difference. And because Joe Burrow is tough as nails and can move that ball around, he is the number one reason why the Cincinnati Bengals could win the Super Bowl this year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if he's healthy, Cincinnati is clearly the best passing offense in the division, and they're going to have to be home team. You look at the running back room right now, Zach Moss, Travion Williams, Chris Evans, fine players. Don't get it twisted. They're going to have to throw the stitches off the ball this fall in order to win games. It's all on the right arm of Joe Burrow. If he stays healthy, he can lead them right to the promised land.
Health, health, and more health. That's what they need in Cincinnati for their quarterback. And a fun, you talk about a loaded quarterback division in that AFC North. No one has to look at anybody in the mirror and say, I'm lesser than. All of those guys could get it done, and all of those guys have a very good chance of hosting a playoff game if they can get things right. So a good chance for Cincinnati. I think they're going to be one of the more fun teams to watch this NFL season. All right, coming up, lots happening with the 49ers, and we'll get to it next here on Amber and Ian on the ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80.